Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 16 of K-Talks. I'm your host, Kay Bellows, and today I am so excited to introduce you to our guest. She is a friend of mine. We met about 3 months ago online, and her name is Jessica Dennehy. She is a former Wall Street attorney turned entrepreneur and yoga enthusiast. She is based in New York, one of my favorite cities that I haven't been to yet. She practices corporate law while also running her company, Mad Men Barbershop, and she really just uses her business experience and her legal knowledge and love of fitness to help others and to coach entrepreneurs to build successful brands that really do just stand the test of time. She's got so much wisdom and so much knowledge, and she's just such a force of good and positivity. So I'm really excited to bring this episode to you. So with that, let's jump right in. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of K-Talks. So excited to have our special guest, Jessica, on. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on and chat with me and just share your knowledge with my listeners and with me as well.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so psyched to be here.
Thank you. So you have like quite the extensive background. So, you know, you were a Wall Street attorney turned small business owner and now a yoga teacher. So tell our listeners a bit about your story, like how you got into law and what led you to break away from that a little bit and venture more into the entrepreneurial space and also the yoga space as well.
Well, I always wanted to be a lawyer growing up. I think just for me, I love to understand people, and part of that is challenging their viewpoints. So I would always be, in a non-confrontational way, challenging everyone, like, why do you feel like that? And how about this point? And what about looking at it from this way? And I know that could be annoying to some people, but for me, it was just a way to understand the way that people think and kind of form my own opinions about stuff. So I thought to myself, being a lawyer is really my true path. And I went down that road. It kind of developed as I was in law school, the type of law I wanted to practice just developed from there. And I ended up in a clinic where they were doing securities regulation. So that's regulating the stock market. And I never really knew much about the stock market before, but I like that I got to be a litigator, because the only other option really for that was to be a DA, and they didn't get paid enough. After I had all this law school debt, I wanted a job that made more money. And at the stock exchange, they let you try a case basically from year one that you begin. So it was, I ended up like interning there, and I got a job after law school, and that was a great experience. And I worked there for almost 10 years.
Wow.
It was fun because, you know, it's hard as a woman. The stock market is very male dominant. There are very few female brokers, especially 10 years ago. Now that was 2005. So there was even less then. And being a lawyer is a male dominant space. So I was kind of learning a lot about myself. The brokers were young. They were out. A lot of them come straight from high school and they're making so much money. Their heads just explode and they have a lot of egos. And to see, to walk into an investigation where a woman, a young female attorney, is investigating you, that really irritated them.
Yeah, powerful female coming into like a male dominated space. So like, I don't know if you're allowed to say, but I'm so curious because I'm actually into, like, I recently just started learning trading as well, but I'm not in the stocks. It's more in the foreign exchange markets.
Oh, okay.
So, and obviously I'm a retailer, so it's different. But like, what kinds of things would you like investigate? Like, I'm just so curious.
It was a great job because I was part like police officer investigating things, a detective. And then I got to flip to the attorney role when I found a violation and kind of do a prosecutorial kind of proceeding after that. So what kinds of things? All kinds of things. I mean, when I first started out, it was smaller things. So you didn't, the broker didn't report a financial bankruptcy or something on their form U-4 when they registered. Or they traded an unsuitable stock in someone's account. And then as I got more advanced in my career, I started to do more heavy lifting about whether a stock was registered or not, private securities offerings, if they were following the rules, if a customer, if a broker stole money from a customer's account or misled a customer about what the repercussions of a certain aggressive stock would be. So it kind of, yeah, it got exciting. And also in Long Island where I live, which is, you know, right outside of New York City, there's a lot of very small broker dealers who were doing a lot of crazy things. And it got really interesting. They're basically boiler rooms. And those were the most interesting cases because they brought up some very weird and weird aspects of the brokerage industry that big firms and probably the broker that you work for would never have experienced because they're on the straight and narrow.
I see. Oh, I can see why you would do something like that for 10 years because it sounds like it was something new every day, like just really, really exciting. So how did you navigate like being a female in that space? Like what sort of things did you learn about yourself?
Well, it's a hard balance, and you probably can understand where I'm coming from. When you walk into a room full of men, right away your back's kind of up because you're ready to have to defend yourself, and you have to strike this balance between maintaining your femininity and your identity, but also showing them that you're strong and you can play in the same playground and sandbox as them. So it's hard. I mean, at first I took things personal at first, which is a big mistake. Don't do that, people, because what I've learned is most of what people say and do to you is representative of them, not you.
It takes a while to learn that though.
It does. And you know, when I was 25 at the time, I mean, I was just learning about myself. So it's hard to be in a room where people are judging you and you not judge yourself a little bit. So I think I learned how to navigate maintaining who I am, but also letting everybody know, like, I'm going to be taken seriously and I'm smart. And because I was young too. So I was a female, I was younger than everybody. So they thought I was a novice. So I really had to prove myself and let them know I'm going to take command of the room because that's my job and I'm capable of doing that. But it was hard.
Yeah, I can imagine. And it's clearly like shaped you into the woman you are today. And you're such an inspiration too, like to me, but also to this younger generation that's coming up. Times are changing and females are just, you know, we're speaking out more and seeing strong women, especially in that space. It's just so powerful for younger females to see that and to have good role models. So they know, like, you know what? I can be a strong woman. I can stand up for, you know, what I believe in. I can speak my mind. I can, you know, stand in a male dominated space and be successful. And I think that's so important for, you know, young females or any female really to see that. So thank you for showing up in that way for the world. So I think that's just so incredible.
Thank you. That means so much to me. And I'm raising two small daughters right now. They're 5 and 8. So I try to instill this in them all the time that you can do anything. And most of the time you're going to be, you know, the odd man out in the room, but you shouldn't let it bother you. And you should kind of just keep going and keep your head down. And it's an interesting lesson to learn. They'll have to one day too, but hopefully by then it will be much more diverse.
For sure. And they're so lucky to have you as a mom too.
Thank you. Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about, so you have a barbershop called Mad Men Barbershop. Okay. First off, like I saw your little video on Instagram for that. It was like an ad or something that you did.
We do a lot of those.
It was so cute though. Like I loved it. So I'm just like curious, like how did you come up with the name and just like the idea for the company and like how did that all come to fruition?
Well, while I was working at the stock exchange, my husband at the time, we're now divorced, but at the time we were together and he was kind of looking to get out of working for someone and start his own thing. And he's a custom clothing designer. So he was like looking for a place to make clothing and he thought he'd have a barber chair in there. So we started to look for places that I was going to go in as an investor and kind of, you know, bootstrap the idea for him. And we started looking at places, and the more we looked at places, we realized it's way too big to just do clothing. We needed something else. So we ended up doing a barbershop, like an upscale men's barbershop with custom clothing incorporated into it. And at the time, this was 8 years ago, at the time, the barbering industry wasn't what it is now. No one was, you know, discussing haircuts, and no one was doing edgy things. It was just boring 1950s style barbershops that you just run in on your way home from work and run out. And they never updated them, and the tiles are falling apart. So the men's options were, you know, to get something there or to go to a woman's salon. And we just thought, like, they should have a place that's nicer. So we created it, and we created this upscale barbershop. And we love the show Mad Men, but we are also in an area that's highly Italian. So we decided to go with like a mob theme. So mad as in crazy. And everyone went nuts for this idea, and the customers just loved it. It became really popular really fast, and we decided to expand the company and keep growing it. So I left Wall Street to expand the company, and then we were running it together. And in the middle of it, we got divorced, but we're still business partners. We grew up to 3 barbershops. Wow. We had one overseas. We just sold in December. It was in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, that's so cool.
And wow. We've just learned so much about business. You know, as a corporate attorney, because the securities industry is a small sector of corporate law. It's a very niche field for an attorney. So I know a lot about corporations and forming them and stock issuance and all that. But going through and opening your own corporation is a totally different experience. And now I have it from both sides. I know conceptually what you're supposed to do. I know what in reality happens and how it goes. And it's been such a cool experience for me. And my business partner is very creative, and he loves, like, as you said, the ads. He loves to create content. He loves to make ads. We do some crazy stuff. He comes up with lots of weird and fun ideas, and we end up like being the stars of the show. So now I've got some experience in front of a camera, and it's been fun. It's been a really fun ride.
I love that. And it makes it stand out even more too, because it's like, it's different. And like, it definitely caught my eye. I was like, this is so cool. Like, if I was a man, I would totally go to this barber shop.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Amazing. So you were able to take your experience from corporate law into, you know, starting a small business. And now, like, I know you're also like helping other young entrepreneurs and people that are wanting to get into the online space with that as well. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing in that space?
Sure. During COVID, my businesses were shut down. Barbershops weren't allowed to operate in New York State. So I spent a lot of time panicking and trying to apply for loans for my business that the government was offering. And it was difficult. And I thought, wow, I'm a lawyer, a corporate lawyer, and I still am having trouble navigating this. Imagine what the average business owner is, what trouble they're having. Because what I've learned in the small business world is most of these people just have an idea. They don't have a business background. They don't have a legal background. They have an idea that they put into action. So the hardest part for them is really the back end of all the legalities and formations and finance and stuff like that. So if I have that background and I'm having trouble submitting these documents, like what's the average business owners? What are they doing? How are they navigating this? So I started to use my Instagram account, and I just made videos about PPP loans and economic injury disaster loans and applying for them and what the benefits were, what the drawbacks were, and explaining it to people in more common language than the legalese that was used to distribute them to the public. Right. And people started getting into it. They were like, this is so helpful. I didn't understand that component of it. Can you explain it to me? And so I started helping people that way. And when everyone's businesses went back and opened around June in New York, I realized that so many people were going out of business, and if a business owner can't keep their business afloat, that means their employees now don't have jobs. And I thought, man, this sucks. I'm going to help people and try to instill some positivity in them by saying, like, you can do this. You can start again. You can rebrand yourself. You can take the concept you've been thinking about for a couple of years and didn't have the opportunity to expand on and start it now, because you have no other option, right? There's not a lot of jobs out there that they keep getting less and less as businesses go out. And maybe now is the best time to start thinking about how you can reinvent yourself. And so I started to put that message out there and I got a great response. And I think I bring a unique perspective to a kind of a coaching or consulting basis business, because I'm an attorney too. So I can negotiate things on your behalf, or I can navigate transactions for you that the average business consultant wouldn't be able to. And I think that makes me valuable.
I love that. I just got like chills, and that's so incredible that you just have such like a servant heart, and that you wanted to just like take all of your knowledge and just really like reach out to people, especially during like such challenging times, because there is a lot of uncertainty right now. And you know, like you said, even for you being coming from like a lawyer background, like you were having trouble navigating this. So the fact that you started putting yourself out there and putting your knowledge out there to help people, like that's just so incredible. And right now I'm sitting here, I'm like, we should definitely work more together, because
sure, let's do it.
Use your help on some things for sure.
I think, listen, sometimes it's hard because there's a lot of components to a business, and you're not going to be good at all of them, right? You can't be creative and run a social media accounts and do advertising and then also be good at all of the line item corporate finance stuff and then also know legal stuff and then also be at your business doing image consulting and maintaining the image of the business if it's a physical location. There's so much. And I think it's daunting to think about how you're going to start. Because where do you start, right? Exactly. I mean, I just named like five huge things, and that's not even all of it. So I think it's overwhelming to even think about how to begin. And for some people, they just need that extra push to be like, all right, start here. Let's go. You got this.
Well, and that's exactly it too, because I think a lot of people, and like myself included in the past too, and like I have some great mentors and some great leaders around me now that I'm working with that, you know, are helping me navigate the online space and the entrepreneurial space. And coming from, you know, a music background, like I did know a little, like I learned a little bit about marketing and a little bit about music, a business. Even that still, it's like a whole other world, and you got to wear so many different hats. And when you're one person just trying to just start and build, like it can be quite overwhelming. So just having someone that can kind of guide you through and be like, you can definitely do this. These are the steps that you need to take. I feel like that's going to just bring so much to people and just take that kind of that scariness, I guess, of, you know, finally starting that thing that they've been wanting to away. And, you know, when you can break it into actionable steps, then people are like, okay, yes, I can totally do this. And, you know, I know for me, I'm pretty independent, so I try and do everything myself, and then I burn out and I realize like, no, I can't do everything myself. So I need to ask for help. And I think that, you know, just having someone too that, you know, can guide you and just be like, okay, we need to, you know, prioritize, like, what are the things that you're good at and focus on those things, and hiring out other people or having a consultant that can help you with, you know, the things that maybe you're not so good at. Like, I'm totally not good at more technical stuff. I'm more of a creative person. So
I think for people like you, that it's the hardest leap, because I think you can hire a ton of people that are creative. It's harder to find the other people that could do, you know, the back end stuff. And I'm working with an art gallery actually, and they're having the same problem. They're like, we're artists. We don't know. We don't want to do spreadsheets. We don't want to do a balance sheet. We don't know how to do that. We don't want to work on Excel. We want to create paintings and art and sculpture, which I could never do. Please. No.
Right.
It's hard when you have to tap into this whole other side of your brain that is not where your forte is, and it can be difficult, but I think it takes a strong person to say, okay, I'm not good at this. Cause when you're an entrepreneur, you're really a go-getter, and it takes a certain amount of ego to say to yourself, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And so then that same part of you also has to say, wait, I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. And it's, you have to learn to give some portion of your business to someone else to handle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're sure. Type A, that could be difficult.
Yeah, I'm a little bit type A, but you know, I'm getting better.
We all have to try. That's all we could do.
So I guess we'll kind of like segue into, because I always like to give my listeners some takeaways and action steps to implement into their own lives. So since we're talking about, you know, the entrepreneurial space and getting started, like what are three things that you would recommend to someone who is just starting out in this space and like, you know, maybe some mistakes that they can avoid and what are some small action steps that they can take to kind of get off the ground?
The biggest mistake is not taking any action. I mean, an idea is great, but that's all it is. And until you implement some step towards your concept, you're not getting anywhere. So the first thing is to take any step. And that could be as small as conceptualizing your name or a logo or getting your website name, just the name. Because websites, I mean, I even can be intimidated by the creation of a website, but grab a name. You know, start to formalize what your message to the world will be. And that's right there, two big steps, right? And then you can start making an outline for yourself of the technical things that you should do first, like get a bank account, you know, register your company with the state or country that you're living in.
Right.
These are little tiny steps, but you're going to feel really overwhelmed by until you sit down and make a list of them and then start checking them off. And those checks are going to make you feel so good. Mm-hmm. And then you can tackle the bigger stuff after that. But those are the basic things you need just to begin.
I'm like taking notes right now. I'm like, okay, I need to do this still. I need to do this still.
Yeah. It's a lot, but I can help if anyone's interested in reaching me. Of course, I'm in the middle of launching my website, so that'll be easy space for to see everything. But yeah, reach out to me. You too, if you need help.
Of course. So where can you tell everyone like where they can find you online? Like what's the best way to reach out to you if they want to work with you, if they need help in the corporate lawyer side of things and also just like the online space?
Sure. Well, my website's going to be launching in the next 7 days. So it will be Jessica Dennehy, which is my name, spelt out, .com. And in the meantime, you can reach me at my email, jessicadennehy@gmail.com, or on Instagram. My handle's Jessica_Dennehy_. So that's where you could find me. And all my information will be on there. Once my website's up, you'll even get to see my fitness. I believe fitness and mindset are a key component to being successful in the business world. And that's something that I talk about on my website and on my Instagram feed. So you could see that. And you can reach me if you need help or you know want some guidance on how to get started.
Amazing. Guys, definitely check her out. Her page is incredible. Like, believe it or not, we have, like, this is the story of this year, I guess. I think a lot of people like meet online and just haven't met in person yet. So, you know, Jessica and I connected, what was it, 3 months ago online?
Something like that. Yeah.
I loved her page and just reached out to her. And she's just such a force of positivity. And so you definitely want to check her out. I feel like, you know, talking about mindset too and the fitness space, like that's just, that would be like another hour long conversation.
Yeah, we should do it again. Do this again. Talk about that.
We're talking about mindset in the business space and just in life because it's just so important to have that. But thank you so much for taking the time to come on and chat with me and just share your knowledge and just share your energy with me and with my listeners. I really appreciate you. And yeah, I just want to acknowledge you for just showing up as you like completely in the world and just being a force of good, especially during a time like this where, you know, we need people like you. So
thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Of course. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode and I'll see you on the next one.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of K-Talks. Please tap that subscribe button for a chance to get a shout out for subscriber of the week. And also let me know what you loved about this episode, because I do really want to create content that you all love and enjoy listening to. So your feedback is so important to me. It would also mean the world if you could please share with a friend, share on social media, and don't forget to tag me at KBellows so I can see it and I can connect with you. Until next time, I'll see you later.